Good morning, everyone. We only have very short time, so I'm going to make it very quick. And then my topic this morning is about Indonesian art, the market, collectors, and its problem. This presentation is about the problem of Indonesian art market and the collectors, and discussing why do people buy art, especially in Indonesia, what is good art, and who decided, and why can we not simply say that the value of price of or price of art is a matter of demand and supply, and what makes an artwork desirable? As you know, that mostly Indonesian in the art scene knows that since 80s, the forger, this is the problem, the forger produces 100,000 paintings to the market. Why and who consumed those paintings? How this situation impact to the Indonesian art? But let's start to, it's very common in all books that talk about the problem in the market. When you stand in front of the work of a museum or exhibition, the first two questions you normally ask yourself are, one, do I like it? And second one, who is buy? When you stand in front of work of art in the auction room or dealer's gallery, you ask these two questions followed by the others, how much it is worth? How much it will be worth if in 5 or 10 years time, and what it will people think of me if this painting hanging on my wall? So I quote this from the Philip Hook. He just published a book, Breakfast at Sotheby's to the Art World. And also, as you know, that since last decade, problem it's become a global phenomenon that boom is coming. And then contemporary art and modern art, especially in paintings, become a rise and become a good investment for the people. And then, as you see this situation in the Christie auction house, and this is still a problem. People still keep talking, keep saying that the problem with art now is the problem. It's the people who buy it. this is a very classic question, and it's still working on at the moment. So let's see how this situation happened, and then let's see why this problem came. And instead of talking about the art world, many researchers now replace this term to the ecological system. According to Anders Pettersen in his essay, he divided the ecological system in the art world. One is microsystem. It refers to the institution and groups that most immediately and directly impact to the artist's development, including art school, museum, institution, collectors, critics, galleries, and peers. And then macrosystem describes the culture in which artists live. Cultural contexts include developing and industrialized countries, socioeconomic values, political environment, and level of technological advance. And who is who in this ecosystem? So this is very common ground, a common platform for the global art world or art market. That one is producer. So artist is producer, and then we can see now in Indonesia is turned that. Collectors as producer. Collectors turn to the to become producer. The second one is educators, art school, academic, and then media and commentators, art critic and reviewer, art magazine, general media and blogs. And then market intermediaries, auction house, dealers and art advisor. And cultural intermediaries, museum, Kunsthalle, especially in German, Biennale, Triennale and so on. Agents and promoters, commercial gallery, artist-run space, and interpreters, art historian, curators, art critic, and consumer, private buyers and collectors, corporate collectors, and public institutions such as museum. So this is the ideal ecosystem. And then many researchers try to make it in a strict way, this is the ideal. So what happened in Indonesia? So I'm using these paintings, which paint by Hendra Guna, one of our maestro. So this is a simpler way to understand the situation in the art scene, in the art market. In the 80s, mostly the collectors came from bureaucrat and from the government. And then some of them, the number of from the private sectors is start to rising up. And then, as you see now, the others painting also talk about the art market is from Sujoyono, high level, 1970. So you can see. And become a bigger. There is a journalist in there, and galleries, dealer, collectors, gallery receptionists, the artists, a little bit confusing. And art critic tried to explain this abstract sculpture to the collectors, and very cynical painting by Sujoyono. And this is very clear for us to see what the situation in 70s in the art market in Indonesia. So still it's very simple simple ecosystem, as you see from this painting. So why people, why collectors buy art? If you interview some of Indonesian collectors, so we can categorize in two terms for this. One, they acquire the painting or the artworks because symbolic values. And then mostly, it refers to the social status, and then some collectors said because art is a cultural product and spirit of the age, and some reasons they said it because of hobbies, yeah. And we never know what is hobbies means in this values. And the second is economic values, investment, commercial, and so on. So this is why people in Indonesia mostly buy the painting. So according to Leslie, that yes, it's true that since last decade, Indonesian art scene has become more interest because suddenly the booms come to our art scene, and then people talk about this, and then the New York Times said that this is because the economic, I'm not economic analysis, but they said it's because economic and economically Indonesian become more and more bigger. And then the interesting from this paper from Seth Maidan, he mentioned about the boom of in Indonesia contemporary art market start with that they call Incident of May. Incident of May is for the first time living artists such as Mas Riyadi sold his painting in the Sotheby's $1 million US dollars. So, and people until now, I think, still keep talking about this. Who bought this? Who bought this painting? This is this painting bought by the collectors from Surabaya. So this is the, what do you call it? The incident, as mentioned by Seth Maidan in the New York Times, the incidents happens because this painting, and then after this, the market has become a bigger and bigger, and demand is there. And now, of course, the impact for the art market, and artists become rich, and they have a studio, they have a swimming pool, they have a car, luxury car, and so on and so on. If you go to the Jogja, and it's easy to find the evidence of the market. If you go to the artist's house. And then second part. There's the first part. Second part is collector's turn. Quick fact for the national collectors, the number is approximately 350 collectors in Indonesia, and 150 is still active. And then what is the business background? Mining, property, pharmacy, and automotive. And I can add one from this, tobacco trader. What is trend and motive of collecting? Some of the collectors now, they start to founding private museum. Mostly, they see that because the government is not really care for this situation, so many private collectors start to build their own museum. And some of the motive is because they really enjoy to become an art patron. It's easy to see during the boom when you go to the opening exhibition, the collector is there, and the artists will surround it, the collectors, and the collectors will talk about like an art critic, and he talk like maybe you better a little bit red in this in the left side, or maybe blue a little bit in here. So he can do critics and curating sometimes, and yeah, it's happened. And curators become curators. It's also I think in 2011 we have a big issue about this when the curators become curators. So the curators curate his own show, and he choosing the artist, and he bought by themselves. And this is another statistic. There's no such thing as a collector in terms of the true collectors. And if we from 350, we can divide it to the three sections. 65% is a collectors. I'm not saying a true collector, but maybe we can say true collectors. 25% is investor, and it's a common in Indonesia. We call it collect doll, collect and buy. Doll in Japanese term it means buy, sell. Collect and sell. So 25% they're working for this, and 15% is the traders. The artwork that collect by them, 10% is contemporary art and 90% is modern art. So I'm going to the last part for this presentation. Until 2012, the situation become more relaxed. I mean, everybody happy for this situation. Yeah, artists happy, they are rich. Curators happy because they do many jobs to curate a show in a commercial gallery. Critics happy. There's many things that you can read, write in the newspaper or in the magazine. Auction house happy. Everybody's happy, yeah. They can share to everyone, and then suddenly it's coming. I call it disaster. A disaster in contemporary art. 2012, there is a controversy about the con artistry or the fake paintings that produce by some painters, and they sell it into the art market. And then Tempo magazine specially put this issue in the first in the cover, and they more than 20 pages they investigated why this situation happened and who and politic behind and all this kind of issue. I'm sorry. Oh, this should be the first. Oh, this is a. I have to introduce you to these collectors. Okay, this is a sample. This is he's a collectors live in very very famous and very influenced collectors now at the moment in Indonesia. One of the very famous one. Dedy Kusuma, he worked as a real estate tycoon, living in Jakarta. He collected modern and contemporary art. So now the superstar is not the artist, so it's easy to if you go to the magazine, lifestyle magazine, and they publish the interview with the collectors. Yeah, so the superstars now is not also artists, but also the collectors. Okay, we go to the disaster. This is the man behind this disaster. Dr. Oi Hong Jin is a tobacco trader. He's a founder of Ohede Museum in Magelang, Central Java. And then the story came when he opened his second museum in the same city. And then after this opening, people talk about making gossip about, is it authentic? Because he showed us to the public a huge painting from our maestro, and then especially for people who working for a researcher for art historian, this is not true, and then the gossip start in the Facebook, and the people talking about what's wrong with him, why he show us a fake painting in his museum collection. And this is the situation in the museum. And I can show you how big the fake one. This is the fake painting. This is fake painting, and let's see, this one is fake, and then there's another fake painting behind, and then he claimed that he got this old painting from secret dealers and so on. Of course, he didn't tell us the truth behind this. But as you see, that it's not in the museum. Yeah, I mean, 5 minutes. Okay, Jakarta street vendor also sell the fraudulent old master. As you see, this Hendra Gunawan, and sometimes funny things. You can find this painting from the street in the auction house. Yeah, it's easy to get this situation. So what is modus operandi in Indonesian art forgery? First is take a picture to the wife. You take a picture of the wife from the wife of the painters. Yeah. So let's see. This is a fake Hendra Gunawan's painting, and this is his wife. So this is modus operandi. So many times, even they come to me because they know I'm an art historian, they came to me, okay, why not take a picture with this painting? Because they come to Sumarja Gallery and would like to know more about the painting. They brought many paintings, and then, okay, Uchok, maybe take picture together with the painting. So this is for authenticity. Yeah? It's very modus operandi. And of course, if you don't know this modus operandi, you will, take picture, why not? And then suddenly this painting go to the auction house, and then with your picture inside. And the second is, of course, certificate. Yeah, I mean, even the painting, you can easy to make it in, make it, and this is more easier to make a fake certificate. And it's very common. They create a new stamps in here, Museum Hendra Gunawan, which is, there's no Museum of Hendra Gunawan. They create a new, and of course the signature, and this is, of course, I know this, this is the sons of Hendra Gunawan, but he already passed away. And I mean, how come? Sometimes they, if people don't know the situation, they just, we buy it, and then, like that. And then, of course, the signature. The signature, especially for Hendra Gunawan, is easy to make this signature, and it's more easy. And from the crack in the painting, there is a house in Bandung. They have an oven, and they put the painting in the oven, and then the oven, and they create a crack after this. And they put it in the oven, and then when this painting came out, and then create a crack, and it like looks like a old painting is also another. And it is very typical. One paper inform you about, on behalf of this painting, I, Hendra Gunawan, selling this painting, the title, the size, and blah, 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 and then signature, and museum again. It's very common, yeah? So this is it's not true, of course. Hendra Gunawan, as an artist, he never used this kind of paper. And photography, this is a problem, and become most operandi. As you see in this side, Hendra Gunawan sit in front of his two paintings. This is the authentic one from the family. And then as you see this, they changed the two painting with one painting, a big one paintings, and then this is with Photoshop maybe. Of course, it's yeah. So you can read about this in the Tempo magazine. They explain it why these things happen. And the most problem, I think, so the big problem for this case is we're not talking about the fake or a copy. Yeah. All the paintings that consumed by the collectors, especially for the fake one, is we call it fraudulent painting. Yeah, fraudulent painting is a painting that is not painted by the artist. That's a problem. And as indicated on the signature, it was created by the painters, it could be everyone, use number of the characteristic from the master, such as style, brush stroke, stem, size, etc., etc. So fraudulent is not imitating or copying from the original. It's more about creating a new painting. So this is a very big problem in Indonesia now at the moment. And this modus operandi utilized the of Indonesian art history, book, and the expert. And then, based on the situation, this year, the Indonesian Fine Art Lover Association, last year, to provide, about more than 100 collectors joined together, and they create this association. And then, because they try to solve this problem, and then to provide also the good education to another collectors, sharing, and also to the artist creators and all market participation involved in the Indonesian art world. And then one of the published is book. Yeah, it's a book. The Trace of Indonesian Fake Painting. This is the book they just published this year. And it's a very thick book, and it explains about this problem of fake or, let's say, fraudulent paintings. Three of these paintings, all is fake, yeah. It's very crazy. So, okay. I will go to the conclusion now. The ecosystem in Indonesian art is so simple, and then with two art museums, about 24 curators, two prominent art schools, one art magazine, more than 2,000 artists, Indonesian art history book published in 1967, 1977, 1999. Yeah, I think Indonesia still need more. To make this ecosystem larger and bigger. And also the collectors, since boom, become more powerful. And also the lack of art history made the forger easy to manipulate the art market. And also we require laboratory that can test the authenticity and originality of the painting. And of course, the last things we need intervention from the government and to create this regulation for this kind of issue, yeah, conservation and so on. sightings unfinished. So hope that's too long. Thank you very much.